Ooh, another exciting debate tonight. Democrats will face off as they vie for those South Carolina votes. A couple new polls out there. One of them, Biden's still ahead. One of them, pretty significantly, there was fears amongst his supporters that that narrowing lead might lead to a second place victory, which would be quite a loss for Joe Biden, given that South Carolina is supposed to be his so-called firewall. And this is due to his support amongst the African-American communities. And given that on average, about 60% of the primary vote is African-American in South Carolina. And so this is why he's supposed to do so well. The lead that he has held, it narrowed, but it, according to the latest poll, is wide once again, which is definitely good news for him. Pete Buttigieg showed up at an event. I've got audio from a local television affiliate there. It was a minimum wage increase to $15 event. And he decided to show up there and sort of crash the party, if you will. It did not go well. Essentially, long story short, it ended with him being chased to his car and fleeing the scene while being screamed at. Not the sort of thing that you love being on local news in a state you got a primary in just a few days later. So we've got that plus much more this morning. Don Luzader's here with the latest news.
Can't wait to see that video.
And I tell you, what's...
we have video of this, right?
Yeah, there's video of it. It's WF. VV, I think, is the affiliate.
Okay.
Anyway, so we do have video. Of course, I'll play the audio. But at one point, it becomes clear to him this is not going well. So he attempts to leave, and his people attempt to leave. And at one point, they realize, oh, no, we've gone the wrong direction. And they have to cut back and sort of go back by that crowd again, which they were getting away.
Yeah.
They're, like, getting away, and they're like, okay, you know. But then they have to go back, and I think it antagonized some of these people that did not want him there, because at that point, they begin shouting at him, and they shout him in all the way until he gets into his SUV. And even as it's speeding away, they're, like, kind of walk-chasing it, screaming at it. It's hilarious. Not for him.
Well, wouldn't you like to know the conversation that went on, though, in that vehicle as they're leaving? It's like, well, that didn't go so well.
Either that or it's just dead silence.
Yeah, no one says a word.
Oh, boy.
Governor Parson plans to officially file for the Republican nomination for governor today. He'll do so up in Jefferson City. He was first elected lieutenant governor, but became governor in June of 2018 after Eric Greitens resigned. Felons in Missouri may get their right to vote back sooner than ever under two new proposals. Legislation debated Monday at a state Senate committee would give former nonviolent crime offenders the right to vote as soon as they're released from prison. Some Republicans on the committee argue the prisoners haven't fully paid their debts to society until they finish probation or parole. And Krispy Kreme is launching its website and app delivery service Saturday. Any address within 10 miles of a franchise location can have donuts brought directly to it for a $5 fee. USA Today says Krispy Kreme will deliver free donuts to hospital staff and patients of babies born on Leap Day in celebration of the launch. All they have to do is share the news on social media using the hashtag Krispy Kreme Special Delivery and the tag at Krispy Kreme in the post. And then you get your free donuts. That's the latest news.
I'm guessing glazed. Did they say? Do you get to pick? I wonder.
I don't know. They don't say. Probably glazed, though, I would guess. So free donuts to Leap Day babies.
I was thinking of the $5 delivery fee. Mm-hmm. Of course, everyone's different, but you have to order a lot of donuts for a lot of people.
Yeah.
For that to pay off, or maybe be stoned or something. I don't know.
I can see it being good for offices, though. You know,
oh, sure.
Absolutely. Like we could pay, our superiors could pay $5 to have donuts delivered
somebody
for
else
the whole staff.
Paying.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be really nice.
What a nice idea.
It would be a nice gesture.
It would be.
A nice variety. At least six dozen, at least.
Yeah.
I'd say would be a nice gesture.
One for every studio, plus you know, sales and
traffic.
Maybe
10 dozen would be really, really nice.
Yeah. I'll talk
with
to
maple,
Janelle about it.
With maple.
Okay.
Just randomly throwing thoughts.
Sure. Okay.
Thank you,
I'll talk to the boss.
KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvement. If you're exploring remodeling options, need replacement siding or windows, contact St. Clair of the Ozarks home improvements for a free estimate today. 50% chance of showers later today. Patchy fog before noon, otherwise cloudy with a high of 41. Snow showers likely tonight. Well, of course, possibly mixed with rain. Becoming all snow overnight with a low of 28. 40% chance of snow tomorrow morning. Then becoming sunny with a high of 35. Mostly sunny Thursday with a high of 46. 37 and cloudy. We do have a Hero's Breakfast Friday at Jimmy's Egg on South Campbell in the Parkcrest Center. Speaking of Krispy Kreme, it's across the way from Krispy Kreme there on South Campbell, up from Republic Road. We will be there broadcasting live 6 to 9. You want to come out, have some breakfast. And if you are a veteran, it is your day to get free breakfast while we're broadcasting live, thanks to Air Service Heating, Cooling, All Service Plumbing, and Delta Roofing. Okay. And if you've not been there, we have our own room for the broadcast. So that's kind of a nice thing. We've been in those conditions before, and it's always, it's nice to have your own secluded room, and we will have that available to us. So if you are somebody who has, gone to the breakfast before when we do the Friday Road Show sponsored by Queen City Motors, and you like that sort of more secluded scenario, that we have that going for us at Jimmy's Egg. And we're hoping that it'll be a great showing on Friday to indicate the sort of participation that we provide. That way it will increase the likelihood that perhaps they'll want to do it more often than just this upcoming Friday, if you know what I mean. So, throwing around a lot of hints this morning. So we'd love for you to come out. I want to, I am going to play the Pete Buttigieg audio coming up, in which he got chased from an event by screaming voters. and incidentally, did you find that video?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I can tell you it was from, the affiliate was WYFF. I think Gateway Pundit may have it on their site. So that may be a quicker find if you head over to Gateway Pundit. So we'll get the video up, but I'm going to play the audio for you as well. And this was, I believe, yesterday or the day before in South Carolina, where the candidates are currently campaigning, or the primary on Saturday. There was something that I mentioned I wanted to touch on, and I essentially just got sidetracked with some other things, and I didn't go over it. And so I thought, well, I want to go over it today. And I thought to myself, well, maybe this is something that a lot of other people talked about already. And is this going to be repetitive? I thought, you know what? I'm just going to mention it anyway. And it simply is regarding the reports at the end of last week, into the weekend, about Russia, and specifically the Bernie Sanders campaign, and how the Bernie Sanders campaign was informed by the intelligence community that perhaps Russia was trying to meddle in the election in a way that would be advantageous to his campaign. And of course, his response was, I don't care. And his supporters were like, we don't care. That sort of Russian meddling you're not supposed to care about. But this is my point. Does no one, and I know people must, find it interesting, odd, and reflective of what a problem we have in today's government, where there is evidence that Bernie Sanders is the focus of Russian propaganda, and he is immediately told about it. But when it is determined or believed that there may be Russian efforts to influence the election in a way that was going to help Donald Trump, so they said, instead of him being told about it, he was made the focus of an investigation and lied to by the director of the FBI, who on three separate occasions told him, you're not the subject of the investigation. They went so far as to pay for a dossier so that the FISA court would give them a warrant so they could spy on the Trump campaign. And we were told all of this was for what reason? Well, to determine whether or not Russians were meddling in the election. Does anyone see the difference here? Why did our government not pay for a dossier on Bernie Sanders? Why did our government not go to the FISA court looking for a warrant so that they could wiretap or spy on, you know, through other forms of surveillance on the Bernie Sanders campaign? All right, the profound difference in approach here tells us everything we need to know about all of this. And this is nothing new. This occurred, this contradiction occurred when it was revealed that Dianne Feinstein's right-hand guy for years and years and years was a spy for China. And she was immediately told about it. Immediately told. There was no attempt to infiltrate her office by the FBI. There was no inserting of investigators in order to find out what it was Dianne Feinstein knew. There was no attempt to get a FISA court warrant in order to spy on other people within her campaign or to spy on communication between the Chinese spy and Dianne Feinstein herself. None of that. They gave her a heads up. Made sure she knew right away that they knew he was a spy or suspected he was. And by all appearances, the approach with Bernie Sanders the same way. As soon, hey, just so you know, we think that this is going on. Isn't that a much different approach than Trump? Instead, that information was used in order to try to not only entrap people surrounding Trump, Trump himself, and then go so far as to try to remove him from office. One doesn't need to know all the details that could be written up on a whiteboard regarding who said what to whom and what person worked for what department and whistleblower this and whistleblower that, to recognize the vastly different approach regarding allegations of Russian meddling between President Donald Trump versus the way that they treat people like Dianne Feinstein and Bernie Sanders. Coming up, Pete Buttigieg being chased away from a minimum wage increase event. He showed up thinking, this is going to be a great photo op. I'm going to get myself in there with all of these individuals that are demanding $15 an hour, not for doing any additional work, but just because government makes the business do it. By the way, that's socialism. And it didn't go as he had planned. The Queen City Motors talk and text line 447-KSGF. Here's traffic. I'm Nick Reed. There was an event in South Carolina. It appeared as if they were McDonald's employees that were out protesting and demanding to have a raise. Not for doing any additional work or training or getting a promotion, but just because. And so they want it to be bumped up to $15 an hour. So they're having this big event. And Pete Buttigieg's campaign finds out about it. And Pete Buttigieg, he goes over there and he grabs the microphone. And this folks, they've got a banner up there. Now, it is a primarily African-American crowd of individuals. And I'm going to explain what you're going to hear here, because without the visuals, it can seem a little bit chaotic. But what you're going to hear is his attempt, after he gets the microphone, to start talking. And immediately, what seems like a majority of the individuals there are not having it. Whether they don't like him or they feel like, oh, here this guy, he's trying to hijack our event because he's running for president, whatever it is, there's a lot of shouting that's going on. And in the video, you can see there's one person that kind of gives him a half hug. I don't know if that's somebody that invited him or was feeling sympathetic for him, but he immediately tries to make an exit out of the crowd. And then, and so you'll hear the crowd sort of subside. And then what's somewhat funny is while he and his entourage are walking to where he thinks the vehicle is, there's a realization that, uh-oh, we're going the wrong direction. And they have to cut back and go back by this crowd. And at that point, the crowd is additionally agitated. I don't, for whatever reason, they feel like, oh, here he comes again or whatever. And they really start, they surround him to some degree and are following him as he's trying to make his way to the SUV. And you'll hear them chanting, and it has to do with the $15 minimum wage. And they're chanting something along the lines of, you know, where was 15 in West Bend? You'll never be our president. It doesn't really rhyme, but, you know, nonetheless. And you can really hear clearly the you'll never be our president or something along those lines. So here is the audio of that event in South Carolina.
Why I'm standing here, no matter who you support, I support you, we support you, we stand together, and we will not lie to the United States of America.
Right at this point, he's trying to get out of there. All right, now you can hear the crowd is sort of disappearing because he and his entourage they're walking away as fast as they can. And they're realizing right now, uh-oh, this is not where our car is. And they realize that the vehicle's on the other side of this crowd that just shouted him away, and they got to cut back through that crowd. A stellar event that Pete Buttigieg decided to attend did not go well. This is one of those instances where afterwards you sort of regroup your team and you're like, okay, all right, now who is the point person on setting this up? Definitely not the imagery. And it goes without saying at this point, Pete Buttigieg's biggest challenge, or one of his biggest challenges right now, optically speaking, is the total lack of support. Well, I shouldn't say total, but the very noticeable lack of support amongst the African-American community. When you show up in an event like that, and you literally have to escape, and you're screamed at, you won't be our president, by a group of people who surround you as you get into your SUV and speed away, and they're like chasing your SUV, screaming, you won't be our president. Not exactly the sort of imagery you want days before a primary. Springfield's News Talk FM 104.1 KSGF. I thought we'd go back. This was sometime last year where Pete Buttigieg was essentially forced to go back to his town of South Bend, Indiana, where he was still mayor at the time. And there were some racial tensions And he decided to, much like this event in South Carolina, to attend an event in which African-American activists were there and they were demanding action. And he showed up with a blowhorn to try to have a discussion with them.
Let me start by talking about what we all believe. We all believe that everybody must be treated fairly, that racism has zero place in our police department or any police department, that we have no toleration for racist behavior or racist actions, that in this particular case and in every case, justice must be served.
How did Tim Corbin get $50,000 for racial remarks then? Our tax dollars paid that man $50,000 to talk about black people. Period.
We don't want justice.
We want
white justice, not black
justice. All right. So I heard 10 demands, I think.
No, you heard her 10 demands. I got my own demands.
Well, here's the good news.
You heard her.
I work for you. This city is accountable to you. And that all members of the police department have properly utilized working body cameras, that they are on any time there is an encounter with a civilian. I know that doesn't help with what happened Sunday.
No, it don't.
I just want you to know that my first question when I heard about this was what happened on the body camera. Five, the request for de-escalation training I support. Six, I cannot support because I do not have evidence that there has been discipline for racist behavior in the case of one of the officers.
No justice!
The way we get justice is by having unity more than one day.
No peace! No justice! No peace!
I think if I were Pete Buttigieg, I would just cease and desist attending all public events similar to those. Here is Parker Padgett with traffic. I'm Nick Reed. I got Don Lizetta with news.
Good morning. A former football and track coach at Hillcrest High School has admitted to having sex with a student. Mikhail Cooper Falls pleaded guilty to statutory rape and sexual contact with a student. Eight other charges are expected to be dismissed by prosecutors. Cooper Falls, who starred at Hillcrest in the mid-2000s, went on to play football for Missouri State. He will be sentenced in April. A woman is dead after a shooting at a community center in Maryland Heights, a suburb of St. Louis. The gunman also shot at a police officer who returned fire and wounded the gunman. The police officer was not hurt. Authorities say the motive is unclear. And that is the latest news.
KTTS First Alert forecast sponsored by Anchor Tactical Supply. A 50% chance of showers later today. Some patchy fog before noon. Otherwise, cloudy with a high of 41. Snow showers likely overnight, possibly mixed with rain at some point. A low of 28. 40% chance of snow showers continuing through the morning. Then becoming sunny with a high of 35. And Thursday, mostly sunny, a high of 46, 37, and cloudy at the KSGF studios. Couple reviews from folks like me who used iwantagreathomeloan.com. This is our second mortgage with Don. We won't go to anyone else. Five stars. We've got, let's see, this from Julia. How he was available around my work schedule and was always available to answer my questions, or he was, rather. Another just said ease with an exclamation point. Zero worries, excellent communication, zero surprises. That from Andrew, another five-star review. If you are looking for that sort of experience, you know, anyone can type in your debt-to-income ratio into some sort of spreadsheet or some sort of software program and your credit score and then spit out, here's what we can give you for how long. But not everyone gives you the experience that Don Carricker and his team does, that constant communication, the ease that is available to you weekends, 7, 8, 8:30 at night. You need it. You can get a hold of Don Carricker and members of his team. And it all starts very easily at iwantagreathomeloan.com because you do. Friday, we have Heroes Breakfast. That's right. Our Friday Roadshow, sponsored by Queen City Motors, is going to be at Jimmy's Egg on South Campbell. And if you are a veteran, come by while we're broadcasting live till 9 o'clock a.m., and you're going to get the breakfast special for free, thanks to Delta Roofing and Air Services, Heating, Cooling, All Service Plumbing. We have details at KSGF.com. There is an Axios report out that the Trump administration has been working with allies to assemble lists of officials it considers disloyal to the president and coming up with potential replacements. The report, based on anonymous sources, alleges that the memos have circulated in the White House, produced by individuals including a GOP Senate staffer and a group of conservative activists named Groundswell, which is led by Jenny Thomas, the wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. Now, let's talk about what, well, first off, let's look at reality here. Not only is there nothing wrong with this, I would argue that there would be something wrong if the president or the people around him weren't doing this. Who in their right mind believes that any individual, whether it is a public office holder or the head of some organization, should keep people on board who are consistently trying to undermine what it is that their boss is trying to do? Would we expect Nancy Pelosi to keep on staffers that were trying to sabotage what she was trying to do as Speaker of the House? Of course not. She'd fire him, rightfully so. If you have a manager of a local restaurant and you find out that some of your employees are putting rat droppings in the food and calling the health inspectors, and then calling the media and leaking out reports about rat droppings in the food, and you are discovered to be actively trying to undermine the restaurant and the manager of that restaurant by setting him or her up, calling the media, sometimes maybe you're just flat out lying, creating fake news, would it make any sense for that manager to say, oh, I guess I better keep this employee on? No. That person would be fired. See, here's a very easy test for people that have a difficult time wrapping their mind around how this works. Here's how you tell if a person is supposed to be working for the president. If the president hires and has the ability to fire that individual, that's how you know the answer to that question. So if the president has the ability to go through and get rid of people, fire them, that means that that individual's job is to do what the president wants and to work on behalf of the president. It has become insane that this is not only considered evidently scandalous, but a story at all, that the president of the United States going through and cleaning out people that are trying to undermine what he's doing. Of course he is. The only real scandal here is the fact that you have people within the White House who are actively trying to sabotage the president of the United States. That's the outrage. That's the story. Now, the way that they want you to see this is like Richard Nixon's enemies list. That this is the behavior of some sort of authoritarian dictator that has a list of enemies and he has those people eliminated. That's not what this is. This is an individual who has a department, a branch, however you want to reference it, an institution that he is in charge of running. And part of that is hiring people and paying people with U.S. payer tax dollars or U.S. Taxpayer dollars, paying them for that purpose. And if they are not doing that, and in fact, not only not doing it, but actively trying to sabotage that, this is that manager saying, get rid of those people. They want you to believe a couple of things here. One, that this is the behavior of some dictator, but also that somehow the president actually isn't the one who's supposed to be in charge of the executive branch. That the executive branch is actually run by all of these people, and the president is doing something wrong by getting rid of them. As if he doesn't have the authority to do this. This is the same play that they use when it comes to people like, of course, James Comey and McCabe and these others. Portraying those individuals as these omnipotent people that God himself anointed, and therefore the president has no authority over them, when in fact that is ludicrous. The president is the one person that has authority over them. And now we are supposed to think that there's something scandalous with the president of the United States that is has team members around him saying, we have got to get rid of people that are sabotaging what it is that the president's trying to do. These aren't members of Congress. These aren't individuals in the judicial branch that are constitutionally exercising their authority. These are people that are hired to work at the pleasure of the President of the United States. And this constant attempt to continue to portray normal, everyday, and expected actions out of any responsible executive as being something that is nefarious and evil and dictatorial is it's beyond all reason. And I believe that the media has become so blinded with their irrational hatred, they don't even realize what they're doing. I'm compiling a list. Oh, my God. It's like it's a massacre there, just getting rid of all these people because he's crazy. Well, was it not Papadopoulos? It was one of the, what was his name? Scaramucci. Remember that guy, the Mooch? And he was in the Trump administration for, I think, about 28 seconds. And he would get ousted, and the media hated him until he goes out and starts trashing on Trump, and then they loved the guy. And Scaramucci gave an interview, and in the interview, he was describing Trump. I'm almost positive this was Scaramucci. If not, it was somebody else from the administration who was fired or let go at some point. But he described Trump as this guy who was president. You know, he just expected everyone else to be in the background. Well, yeah, he's president. You're the president of the United States. And he described, you know, Trump, he's just he's an egomaniac. You know, he expects you to give advice, but then when it really comes down to making the ultimate decisions, he's the one that wants to be known for making those decisions. Yes, that's what the president does. This deluded world these people are creating, all for one purpose, and that is to validate their opinion that Trump is somehow a crazed dictator. And so what they've done is they take what is normal and expected behavior, and they convince themselves that it's not normal, and it's not accepted, and it's not expected. Whether that's firing people who are trying to sabotage your administration, Vidman, you know, high-profile people or people who aren't high-profile, or commuting individuals, pardoning individuals. These are everyday occurrences, but they've convinced themselves that they're not. And it's all to validate in their minds their hatred for the president. There was a town hall meeting last week, I believe, and Joe Biden was talking about his late son being the Attorney General of the United States, which he wasn't. He was the Attorney General of Delaware. This is Beau Biden, who died of brain cancer, I believe it was, a couple of years ago. And they call him, you know, gaffes, I suppose, or slip of the tongues. Those things, they happen, right? I mean, we all say things. We're like, oh, no, I meant this instead, and you write it off. But when there is a frequency issue, in other words, almost weekly or daily, there are those. There are signs oftentimes of larger issues. This is, I believe, yesterday, Joe Biden talking to a crowd in South Carolina.
You're the ones that sent Barack Obama the presidency, and I have a simple proposition here. I'm here to ask you for your help. Where I come from, you don't get far unless you ask. My name's Joe Biden. I'm a Democratic candidate for the United States Senate. Look me over. If you like what you see, help out. If not, vote for the other guy. Give me a look, though, okay? That's all I've really got to say to you.
So he's Joe Biden, and I'm running for the United States Senate. That's one of those things. Okay, so he's a former senator. He's very, he's done that a lot. He runs around running for. But it, you know, you wonder. You look back at all of the things, and you talk. You know, his son, U.S. Attorney General, slip of the tongue, running for U.S. Senate, slip of the tongue, run. You know, and you're like, at some point, you do start to question it. And maybe it's reading too much of it, but when a person, sometimes when people are, whether it's due to injury or age, begin to lose their grasp of current things, they go back to past. You know this. People who get to a certain point and they will talk about things from the past as if it's the present, and you just can't help but wonder if some of that might be going on with Joe Biden. Now, like I said, under normal circumstances, it happens. Everyone, not just people running for president, they're going to say something, and you're like, oh, well, he meant this instead of this, and it's not the biggest deal in the world. But given Joe Biden's history with brain issues that his wife wrote about and how the neurologist said that if he even survived that, odds are he would have brain damage that would be permanent. And just he just doesn't seem to have it like he once did. I don't think it's unreasonable with the frequency of these slip-ups, if you will, to wonder whether or not he just doesn't have the level of sharpness that one should have when he or she is president of the United States. And of course, that's a decision I imagine a number of Democrats probably. It's such a weird thing because despite all that, I mean, it's obvious to some degree that it's questionable. He's still seen as the best bet, the safest bet against Trump for a lot of Democrats. What does that tell you if you're one of the other Dems? Parker with traffic. I'm Nick Reed. Judge that sentenced Stone is going to consider Roger Stone's request for a new trial. This based on the revelations of the tainted jury. And many people see this judge as biased, and so they think that it's hopeless for this judge to rule in an unbiased manner on this. And there are a number of things at issue, some of which we know information about, some we don't, but largely, first off, did this jury foreperson, this gal, disclose all of her biases? Or did she hide them? Was she evasive in answering questions on the questionnaire? Did she purposefully mislead the court when it came to answering some of those questions? Now, one of the questions and answer has made it out to the media, and in the written questionnaire she was asked whether she posted online about the Russian investigation or Stone, and she said she was, quote, not sure, and that she may have shared an article. Now, we know, of course, that she did post numerous tidbits, links, and opinions online regarding this, and articles as well. to me, and what this is lawyer speak, this is an individual who is or was an attorney and allows herself wiggle room in that questionnaire saying, well, I may have, I can't remember for sure, because it's, you can't really prove that somebody doesn't remember something unless you find out that later they say, I actually did remember it. I just claimed I didn't. And so to me, that sounds like a very deliberate attempt to try and keep yourself out of trouble while misleading the court on this particular issue. Daily Caller talked with a criminal defense attorney by the name of Leslie McAdoo Gordon, getting her opinion on it. And she said that she feels that that in and of itself is enough to satisfy the necessary bar that is needed in order to call for a new trial. She said that it also appeared that Hart downplayed her awareness of the Russian probe in a written questionnaire, and also said that Hart's comments about Trump supporters and her failure to disclose those views are enough to satisfy the Supreme Court requirement, saying if that information had been presented to the judge that she thought all supporters of the president were racist, the judge would have excluded her. So the assumption here is that she withheld that information from the judge because surely the judge would have excluded her. Any juror that said, well, I think that the defendant is a racist, that would be enough to disqualify her. People, again, like I said, they're not holding their breath because this judge appears to have it out for Trump as an Obama appointee. But one can never know for sure. Springfield's News Talk FM 104.1 KSGF. Coming up this Friday, we've got a Hero's Breakfast, Jimmy's Egg. Friday Roadshow sponsored by Queen City Motors. News next. I'm Nick Reed.